Lord Jesus Christ, with those you called by the lakeside, may we follow you proclaiming the reign of God and sharing your mission to bring good news to all. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Today's whole theme is about evangelism, about following Jesus. And the reading we had as the gospel this morning is a keystone reading in Mark's gospel. For Mark's whole gospel is dependent on this phrase here. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Repent and believe the good news. The whole focus of Mark is to talk about why Jesus is the good news and why it is important for us as Christians, even living in 2018, to put our focus on Jesus. I don't know how often you've been in a church and have heard somebody say, when they've read the Bible, they've picked it up and they've read an Old Testament lesson that maybe has a lot of blood and guts in it, because there are some, and they say, the Word of God. Well, that's not accurate. The Word of God only is the speaking of Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. The Scripture may contain the wisdom of God, all of it, but the Word of God is Jesus Christ. And that's one of the reasons why, if you've noted, when our readers finish the lection that they're reading for the day, they say, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. That means that it's the Spirit talking to us, but it's not the Word of God, for the Word of God is Jesus. And if we want to know what in our lives and in our world that we should be doing, we read the Gospels and we learn them and we hold them in our hearts and we hear the ministry and the teaching of Jesus and we work to apply that to ourselves and what we're doing. Now, I also know that we have a time of repentance and we're coming up to the season of Lent. And all of us, I'm sure, can look back and see times in our lives when we didn't apply the words of Jesus in our life. And it's that's why we have a time of repentance. We say, Lord, we know different now. We've moved along in our life journey and we look back and we see we've erred. And we know through your love we are forgiven. And then we say, and help us forgive ourselves. I'm sure that's part of the journey for each and every person who's over the age of 6. And it's an important thing as we think about following and hearing and responding to the message of Jesus and the call to follow, that we take seriously this whole process of hearing the call and then be willing to give up some of what we have from the world, if you'd like, lay it aside and follow in our own ways Jesus Christ. And lots of people do it. We do it here in this community of All Saints. This is a wonderful, fascinating, caring, loving, accepting place where everybody is accepted. It's a come as you are. But as we come as we are, we also work at refining who we are. I certainly now today understand more about God and follow God in a different way than I did when I was 20. Though I thought I was doing well when I was 20. But I look back and think, some of my attitudes and some of the things I've said, I would never say today. And we continually on the life journey evolve. We have more understanding. When I was 16, I would laugh at jokes that today horrify me. And I'm not going to give you any examples. You can use your own imagination. We move on and we mature and we start to be more introspective of what is real and what is important. It's been ever thus. But when Jesus challenged these fishers to put aside their nets and to follow him, they, as it's recorded by Mark, gave up everything they had and followed Jesus. And that doesn't mean they still didn't want to have shoes and food and so on, the basic necessities of life. We're not saying that to follow Jesus you put on a hair shirt. But people have oftentimes done almost that. And I can name people now, I don't want to embarrass you, but who have given up a lot of what you have in your life and you've turned yourselves aside to serve Jesus in very substantial, deep ways. And it's a blessing. It's a blessing to give up what might be an easier path and take a different path because we're going to be a nurse in an out-of-the-way place, or we're going to look after people who are street people, or we're going to look after people who are rejected by most people in society because of illnesses that they carry, or we really practice our profession in a way that is a giving way of doing it instead of taking an easier path that made us lots of money. And so on. The list goes on, and I could be so specific you'd know who I was talking about. But that's all ministry. And that's what we're being called to here. But we have to keep up being people on the journey in a sacrificial way with Jesus. It's one thing to believe, but on top of the belief, it's also doing. And that's what part of the call was. When you read the book, the letter of Paul to the Corinthians, you see him almost talking, and it's been interpreted to talk against marriage. And that's a misinterpretation. But when Paul wrote, he was writing just before the fall of the Jewish temple. And they felt their world was coming to an end. But they also felt in that time that as the Romans were gathering strength and energy to destroy the people of Israel, which they really did, because Paul is writing about the year 56, Corinthians, writing from prison, and by the year 70, Jerusalem had been, and the temple, so destroyed that you could hitch up an animal and pull a plow across the city in any direction and not lift the plow out of the earth. That's amazing. You consider what they had to use to destroy buildings with. No bulldozers, no dynamite, and they did that. It must have been an amazing destruction. Not in a good way of amazing. But in that time of catastrophe, they said, Jesus is going to come back. That was their belief. That Jesus would come back in their own lifetime while they were still alive. And so they said, why bother with marriage and so on? You don't need it. The second coming is imminently here. But of course, we know that's not happened. But the second coming, I think we're starting to understand from other writers of that time that we didn't put into Scripture, that the second coming is really when you come to accept Jesus is alive for you. Within you. That's the second coming. And when that happens, our lives change. And most of us here have experienced that second coming. And others are on the verge, or maybe they're deepening your experience of the second coming. But the call today is that we are called to evangelize. To first evangelize ourselves, to bring light to ourselves, and then bring light to others. By our actions more than our words. And that is the call, and sometimes it's challenging because we live in a world that doesn't want to hear that message or puts that message down when it comes. But persist, my sisters and brothers, for a group smaller than us here today made so many changes so many years ago. And we are a part, we're inheritors of that. And we're now called to bring that forward into the next generation. We do it by our actions and our words, by who we are. And I ask for God's blessing on us all as we seek to respond to the call of Jesus Christ yet again in 2018 to follow. May God bless us all as we journey together. Amen.